Let us pray. Well, good and gracious Lord, we can only begin to imagine what it must have been like that day with disciples having joy in their faces and hearts to see Jesus and yet still struggling with doubts and a journey of belief and disbelief at the same time. Lord, we come here today with the joy of Easter still in our hearts and lives, and yet we come here too with our own journey of struggle, doubt, belief, and unbelief. We come here to be reassured by your words, to hear your Spirit speak to us. Open our hearts that we might hear your voice, that we might know your will, and that in believing we might know life. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are today, the third Sunday of the great 50-day season of Easter. As we shared with the children and youth, most of society has packed up their Easter eggs. But here we are, God's children by grace, gathered by the Holy Spirit, still celebrating Easter. A reminder, as the Apostle John tells us in today's second lesson, that as the world marches onward with its priorities, this is who we are. We are above all, through all, most of all, children of God. As the ancient church fathers wrote, describing Christians, we are, when all is said and done, an Easter people. People whose lives and view of the world have been totally redefined by the events of a Sunday morning at a tomb in a garden outside Jerusalem long ago, when death was defeated, when sin and evil were given a death blow of their own, and when the glorious truth was revealed. That God's love wins, and that God's hope is always the final word. So here on this third Sunday of Easter, I invite us to ponder maybe two things from today's scriptures. Now the first one is this. It's probably a question you've been asked several times in your life. But consider this, if you could sit down and eat with anyone in all of history, who would you have at the table with you? Now, these couple weeks in April, they might give us a few good possibilities. Now, most of you know I'm a baseball fan, and today is April 15th, which means it's Jackie Robinson Day. And all the players in the major leagues will be wearing number 42, his number, to remember how he first broke the color barrier and took the field for the Brooklyn Dodgers on this day in 1947. Now, I remember as a 12-year-old thinking it took a lot of courage to walk onto the field with my jersey that said on the back, I was sponsored by Barger Septic Tank Service. But I would love to talk with Jackie Robinson about what it must have been like to have stepped on a baseball field knowing that on your back there was a bullseye and that people had told you and wrote you and called you and said that the minute you step on this field, you will be shot. I would love to know what courage that took. And today, April 15th, is also the day Abraham Lincoln died from an assassin's bullet 153 years ago. I would love to sit down and share a meal with Lincoln and talk with him about all the time he spent in prayer, seeking God's will and guidance to preserve a nation and a vision of freedom for all of its people. Yesterday, April 14th, was the day of Winnie Mandela's funeral in South Africa. And last Monday, April 9th, was the 50th anniversary of the funeral for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I would love to sit down at a table with Winnie Mandela and Dr. King at the same time and hear the two of them talk about their struggles for justice and freedom a half a world apart and the power of God's hope over the injustices of apartheid and segregation and systemic poverty. And this upcoming week, April 19th, many synagogues will celebrate the day of Yom HaShoah, remembering the horror of the Holocaust. And I would be honored to sit at a table and share a meal with those who perished in the gas chambers of Auschwitz, and to talk with them about their ability to maintain faith in the God of Abraham and Sarah in spite of the horrors that they were enduring. What about you? Who from history would you like to sit down with and share a meal and have a conversation? Today, on the third Sunday of Easter, we have this story of one of the most seemingly unimaginable meals of all history. The story of disciples being gathered to behold a meal. A meal eaten by the resurrected Jesus. Now, you may or may not know, but on the third Sunday of Easter, the gospel lesson every year is always about the resurrected living Jesus eating a meal. It rotates among three stories. There's the glorious story of the risen Jesus cooking breakfast for his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and how he eats breakfast with them on the shore, and how in that meal they find reconciliation and hope, even in spite of all the ways they had abandoned their Savior in his time of need. Especially Peter, who there by the fire of that breakfast is invited to say three times to Jesus how much he loves him. And there is also an amazing story of the risen Jesus eating a meal in the village of Emmaus in the home of Cleopas. And how in Jesus' breaking and blessing of the bread there in that house, his identity is made known to Cleopas and his friend. And this year in the rotation for the third Sunday of Easter, the meal story we have comes from Luke chapter 24. It's the story of the resurrected Jesus eating a piece of broiled fish. I wonder if he knew he had to pay an extra dollar for broiled fish at the fish fry. As if seeing the wounds in his hands and feet were not enough, the disciples were blessed to see him eat and digest fish, and to know that he truly was no ghost, for ghosts don't eat fish. Or anything else. Well, people often talk about following the commandments. And most often when that is said, what comes into our mind are only the Ten Commandments. But for some reason, even us as Christians, we don't also think about the other commandments, the commandments that Jesus gave us directly as his followers. Commandments about forgiving 7 times 70, about loving others as he loved us. And this commandment, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. What was it about? A meal. A meal. It's not surprising that the multiple stories of Easter and the resurrected Jesus were about eating with the Lord. For in their own way, all these stories were pointing ahead to the centrality that we as followers of Jesus have in the eating of this meal, which we were commanded to do by Jesus. For in this meal, we get to eat not simply with a famous human being, but we children of God get to dine with and dine upon God's own Son, His body and blood given and shed for us. It is through this meal that we are continually reconciled with God. In spite of all our failures and mistakes, ways we have abandoned or denied the Lord, it is in this meal that God continues to affirm for us the true presence of the living Christ here in our very midst and in our lives. It is through this meal that we are children of God, by God's grace, fed with heavenly food. The bread of life, the true manna from heaven, not mere food for our bodies, but food for our souls. For we are fed with Christ Himself. The complete and total fulfillment of God's entire will is found in all the Scriptures, as Jesus reminded His followers in today's gospel. We are fed with the total fulfillment of God's will for the world, for God's vision of the kingdom of justice and mercy and faithfulness. It is through this meal, dining with Jesus, dining upon Jesus, that we children of God by grace are fed with what Luther once called the battle rations for the Christian in the world. That we are fed with a righteousness and a strength that we cannot find on our own in order to accomplish God's purpose in a way that we cannot do by ourselves. We are fed with the power of Jesus to carry on in this world what God requires of us as God's children. That call to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. To dine with Jesus, to dine upon Jesus every week is a means by which we acknowledge what Peter himself was trying to tell the people in Solomon's portico that day in Jerusalem. That yes, this crippled man had been made to walk, but it was not because what he and John had done. It was because of what God had done. And they were only instruments of God's work. For without the power of God, the power of God that God granted Peter and John, the power of God that God grants us through Jesus, we can simply accomplish nothing in this world. And so we come to break the bread and to have Christ yet again revealed to us, to be fed with God's own strength. Which leads us finally to thing number two for today, another commandment of Jesus. Did you hear it in the gospel lesson? That repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in His name to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. It is that mission we heard Peter fulfilling in today's first lesson, for that is the message he proclaimed to all those gathered in Solomon's portico at the temple. Peter tells the religious crowd gathered there the somber truth that in their own good intention desire to save their nation from Rome and to preserve what they knew to be or thought to be the right interpretation of the Scriptures, they had acted in ignorance. when they participated in the unjust condemnation of God's innocent Son. And in doing so, when Peter said that, he was echoing Jesus' own words from the cross. Remember? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the truth is that as human beings, our sin for which we need forgiveness, well, it is not only those bad acts which we do consciously and know about. It is not even those good acts which we fail to do and realize. But our sin for which we need repentance and forgiveness are all those things we participate in daily out of ignorance. How we unknowingly continue to perpetuate systems of violence and injustice that are contrary to God's vision for the world. Like people of generations gone by, many good-intentioned people who through their silence or apathy or self-interest help perpetuate all those ancient systems of slavery and apartheid or segregation or entrenched poverty or religious or racial hatred or, yes, even genocide of God's own people. Some of those not so ancient at all. Still here in the 21st century, when we walk through that portico, we enter this holy place to hear Peter's voice speaking to us. Now, friends, he said, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers and officials. But repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Jesus commands us, commissions us to continue to proclaim that grace-filled, hope-drenched message of repentance and forgiveness of his sins, of sins in his name to all nations. Forgiveness and repentance I need because of my own ignorance to the things that I am a part of in this grander world of which I don't even see at this time in history. For forgiveness means the power of a new beginning. And repentance, lest we forget in the Bible, does not mean feeling sorry for something. Repentance means being turned around completely by God to live in a new direction. Turned by the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ in us. For you see, the greatest meal in history is not one we have to imagine. The greatest meal in history is this meal. And we do not have to eat it with just a mere historical figure. We get to eat it with the living Lord for a purpose, so that we might be changed and that we might be transformed and that our hearts and minds might be open to things of which we might otherwise be completely ignorant or unknowing, and that in us God may work God's vision of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. God's vision of us being who we are called to be. Children of God for the world. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.